Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to invite Sister Lillian at this moment to please come forward. We want to do something simple here. I don't know if you're aware, but Sister Lillian is the one in charge of evangelism in the church. She's the one helping us to get motivated. And we were talking the other day, and we decided that we want to invest a few minutes talking to the church and presenting you some ideas. And you can pray and think about it and let us know how you feel about this. As I was mentioned, Sister Lillian is the person in charge of evangelism. And you remember in churches a long time ago, they used to have the 5-10 minutes for evangelism. Don't come, Sister Lillian. Don't get too comfy. And the reason today is to ask you a few questions. How many of you are aware that Sister Lillian is having a small group in her home? How many of you have visited the group? Okay, so how do you feel? What do you think? Is that a good idea? Well, how has been the small group for you?
We are growing, and I'm just thrilled. It's something that I always wanted to do in my later years, because we know that we are told that this is where we would need to be. The church is closed, we will have to meet in our home. But more than that, we are each one feels that Jesus is coming soon.
So what normally do you do when you get in the small group? How's the program there?
It's pretty much like, well, we study. We have an outline, and we study the chapter, and we have a season of prayer.
Okay.
And then we study, and then after we not rushing. This is what we like about it. We just take our own time, and we, as one is reading, we stop. If you have a point, or if there's something that you want to elaborate on, or that you don't understand, we just pitch in. It's just so spiritual and strengthening, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm honored that they
Amen. So normally the small group get there, so they pray, they probably sing, and then they start reading your book and studying and asking questions.
And we express how we see, how we understand the things that we are to do to be ready when Jesus.
Amen. So you would like this idea to happen more in the church?
I would. I would like to see many homes being opened up for the same thing.
Okay. So how you folks feel about that? Do you think that maybe we can have another small group in another home or two or three? I don't know. Some of you are friends and I'll always get connected. I know they like to talk, to eat together, enjoying company. So that's the idea that we want to present to you. You feel like you would like to have a small group in your home, or maybe get with a friend here from church and start doing this, please let us know. We will be glad to help you and support you in that idea. And we hope that having more small groups will facilitate that you can worship with other people. It's difficult right now because the days are shorter and it's getting dark. And I know some of you don't like to drive at nighttime. But maybe you can do it during daytime and visit some of your friends.
Pastor, I would also like to add that we are not planning to just study and go home. We are working on visiting sick nursing homes or some of our missing members. We intend to reach out a little bit and do some outreach work as well.
Great. So the group purpose is not only to feed yourselves, but also to be able to do some outreach and help other people. That's great news. You remember, I think we did this 2 years ago, but some of you remember this, right? This is an invitation that we send in the community and in some sections of the city. And this year, we want to give it a try again and send some Bible offers through the city. And amazingly enough, we get like around 50 responses. Now, I have to let you know that the parts of the city that we target are, in some cases, some parts that impoverished areas of the city. They are not like the best neighborhoods. But everybody needs to listen, have the opportunity to listen to the Word of God. And you agree with me on that? And so we have responses from 50 people, and I would like to invite whoever would like to help me with this to offer the worship today to stake, and we will talk, and I can give you one or two or three, as many cards as you want to, and I will explain to you in more detail what to do with these cards. So thank you so much, Sister Lillian, for helping me, and please keep praying about our project here. Brother Don. Correct. This is a request for Bible studies, and we had the Bible studies, and what you need to do is come after worship, and I will explain you the details, okay? Now, let's go to the Bible. Please open your Bibles in the book of Genesis. Our worship today is found in chapter 27. And I'm pretty sure you are very acquainted with this story. It's the story of Jacob asking, or more than asking, pretty much stealing the blessing from his father. So open your Bibles in Genesis 27, and you will find the story there. In my Bible, you have a subtitle for this story that's called Isaac Blessed Jacob. Okay? So verse 1 in 27 is saying this. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the date of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, now your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I hear your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me the game, and I make savory food for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat and he may bless you before his death." Verse 11, pay attention to this part. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son, and obey my voice, and go and get them to me." And he went and got to them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father's love. Then Rebekah took the choicest of clothes of her elder son Esau, which were in her house, and put it in Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of goats in his hands and the smooth part of his neck. Then he gave the savory food and bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. The story continues. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn, and I have done as you have told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord, your God, brought it to me." Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and he said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. So what do you think about this story right there? It's an interesting story, right? Like it looked like a fairy tale. Right. Can you imagine how Jacob could feel lying to his old father, taking advantage of his blindness, putting the skin in his hands, and knowing that his father find out he will get a curse instead of the blessing? He lied in many ways. He lied in many ways. You are correct. He started lying on Esau, right? And his father knows the voice of his son. And he realized, you sound like Jacob. And he get close and he started smelling his son and he finding that he's made like Esau, but still his voice is not quite the same. Another detail of the story is found in Genesis chapter 25. And it's in reference of these two babies when they are born. For some reason, it seems like in Jacob's family and Esau's family and his father, Abraham, you know, and Isaac's family, they all had problems like having babies, right? And they had problems also lying to other people. So when you start reading here in Genesis 25, verse 21, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together with her. And she said, it is all well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed that there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red, and he was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. And afterward his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Esau was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter and a man on the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in the tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his gains, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So now you have a family here. This father is 60 years old, and that was pretty typical of the time, having babies at this age. And it seems like in this family, they are having favorites, right? Mom, for some reason, start liking Jacob more, and the father, for some reason, was liking Esau. Esau was more outgoing and more like the kind of person that like hunting and doing all these things. And the other guy, how was Jacob? Yeah, kind of like a mama's boy, right? Leading the thing, helping, things that they weren't expected from men to do all the time. Not only they were different in behavior, but they also were different in their approach to God. Jacob was more keen to respond to spiritual things. He was always kind of like looking for God and praying to God. And Esau was more like a materialistic kind of person, right? He was more into that. When you continue reading the story, you find out that Esau married when he was 40 years of age. Jacob did not, you know. So the family didn't approve the marriage because he married people from that region. So the reason that I select the story today, and if you pay attention to the title of the sermon, is speaking the truth in love, right? And you will probably thinking, well, yes, we need to talk to other people when you have to tell them the truth. You know, we have to do it in kindness and in love. But what about yourself? How do you tell the truth when something is not working well in your life? Can you notice when something is not working well? Are you fair enough with yourself to point out your problem? Or you tend to deceive yourself in occasions? How do you feel about that? Do you think that we fool ourselves in occasions, thinking that we are better? Right? We have the tendency to lie to ourselves. Now, if you are not completely honest with yourself, Do you think that that can create problems in your life, in your personal life, with your spouse, in your home, with your children, with your brothers and family members? Do you think that can create a problem? Why? Everybody lies. You don't think that everybody lies? You have to keep in, yeah, that's true, the story correct. Eventually, they will capture you there, that's correct. If your family discover that you are lying all the time, they won't trust you, that's correct. In occasions, we lie because we are trying to protect somebody's feelings, right? We don't want to tell the truth, we don't want to be too blunt. Because we discovered if you are too honest, too blunt, maybe you will end up being by yourself. Nobody wants to be around you. Probably not lying, but maybe refraining to saying all that you are, whatever you are thinking, right? And so I thought the story is very important to us today because we need to rediscover about who you really are. You say, Pastor, I'm probably a middle-aged man or a middle-aged woman or a younger person. But I think we need to be honest with ourselves, right? That's the first important step in finding a good relationship with God. Now, when you go back to the story, when Jacob is bringing the food to his father, right? You notice what is the problem for Jacob? What is the problem? Think about that. He was trying to obtain the birthright, and he think that he make a transaction with his brothers. In reality, that birthright belongs to whom? Right. So it wasn't him for his to grab the blessing. Now, but I want you to think about this. When he is talking to the mother about the plan, the plot to deceive the father, he's not concerned much with that deception, with the lie to his father. He's more concerned with what? Getting cut. Very good. And what will happen if he get cut? So think about that. That gives you a glimpse of this person's character, right? Now, how old was Jacob at this time? Yeah, how old? Very good. They were twins. And in previous chapter 27, in chapter 26, you discover that Esau married when he was 40. But when you continue reading the story, it's not mentioned about his age, but you can deduce that he was close to 77 years of age. So this is an adult. When people tell the story to the kids, they present Jacob like a teenager, right? This is not a teen. This is an old man. Like I say, that he happens to be single at this age and having he continue living with his family, with his mom and father at home. You know, think about that. Especially you had kids, you know, like I had kids. And you know, when you are 18, that's time for you to start getting some independence, right? Yeah. I had two teenagers, one is 70 and the other is 72. Like, you would expect that at that time they were out of the house, right? But this guy is very close to his mom and father. And like we were mentioned before, he's not concerned with the deception. He's more concerned with the punishment. You know, that what will happen. And if you pay attention to the story, you will realize that he start asking mom, how we will deceive dad, right? My skin, I don't have any hairs, right? My brother have a lot of hair. So how we solve the problem? And mom said, don't worry, we'll take care of that, right? And when you continue reading the story, you find out that the whole thing is well planned between mom and son. So in reality, he was more concerned with the punishment. Are we not the same in occasions with God? Think about that. In one section of the story, you remember that he is trying to deceive his father, that he gets so close. You will continue reading that in chapter 28, and you will discover that his father finally gets close, and he kisses him. Right, and when I was reading that part that Esau, Jacob was kissing his father, knowing that he was betraying him, that he was lying, it brought to my memory another person who was kissed by a good friend, right, before being betrayed. So I was thinking about Jesus and how his good friend Judas betrayed him, and it was precisely through a kiss, a sign of love and friendship, you know. And it's really, really interesting. Let me make a small parenthesis here, a small stop here. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to visit Argentina in South America. Beautiful country and beautiful people. They are really nice. But they had different customs. At the end of the sermon, you know, like today, I normally go out the door and start shaking hands and say, you know, have a good day. And you will tell me, you know, beautiful things. Oh, great sermon, Pastor. Yeah. Oh, the things that we normally say every Sabbath. But in Argentina, they do something interesting. They kiss you. So, you know, I wasn't prepared for that. And you start having the little kids kissing you, one kissing one cheek. And then the ladies, you know, one kiss. But the part gets more complicated when the guys start kissing you too, right? This guy, when big mustache, start kissing you like, okay. You know, like, I don't know about you, but that was new to me, right? I'm not used to that kind of affection, you know? But everybody kissing there is, you know, that. And so being in there, being new, okay, just go for it, right? You know, kissing everybody. Yeah. So after like 120 kisses, I don't know how many kisses I give that day, you know, that they are trying to tell you, we love you, we appreciate what you're doing, and that's our way to say it, right? It's a different way to say it. And I was thinking about the story here in Jacob kissing his father, right? An old man. But still, he loved him deeply. And think about how he feels when he's betraying his father. Knowing that he wants something that is good because it's the blessing of God, but he's trying to acquire it in a wrong way. So have you ever been confronted with something that you want from God, let's say like a spiritual thing, but it's not happening yet for you? And in occasions we want to help God, right? We want this thing to happen sooner, faster, that God somehow answer me faster. And we made mistakes, and that's one of these cases here. You know, Jacob, in his desperation, he is using deception to obtain that blessing. Question, do you think that God will eventually bring this blessing over him without the lie?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't. Very good. In chapter 25, God had promised that the older son will be working for the younger one, that he will be a blessing. So if he wait for the right time, maybe the story won't have this outcome here. But the story is also presenting other issues inside the family, a very dysfunctional family, right? A very problematic family. Think about your family. How was your family? You can probably say, well, my family, you know, is really good. You know, we didn't have these issues. Or maybe you had other issues, right? I came from a family that it was quite dysfunctional. You know, I never really understood the dynamics in my family. And I love my father and I love my mother. But then in my teenager years, realizing that my father maybe didn't love my mother the way that I was expecting him to do. And I always wondered why he married her and why he stayed so long. You know, like all these questions that you start thinking later. Of course, I never asked my father about that, you know, because I feel it was very disrespectful. But when you think about your family, then you start realizing that maybe you had issues in your family too. You had problems in your family. Have anyone here had issues with your father? Or anyone here had issues with your mother? Had you ever had an opportunity to talk to your father or your mother about these problems? Or with a brother in your family, maybe somebody that is close to you and you had problems with this brother or with this sister, had you ever had the opportunity to get and talk to this person about these issues? Or you let it go? You know, you pretend that nothing is happening. And I have a good friend. I really like this guy. He's a good close friend of mine. But my friend have a tendency, and it seems like he get obsessed with this, to present an image that his family is perfect, that nothing happened in his family. You know, and when you have friends, you learn to love them despite our difference. And I never make any comments because it's not my place to make these comments. But in occasions, we want to pretend that everything is fine, right? One of the lessons that I get from the story that I think is amazing is that God gave Jacob a blessing. How the blessing is obtained, you think that God will care about that? The blessing is obtained through deception. Right. You know, how God can bless somebody that is deceiving his father? He's not breaking a commandment right there? Well, several commandments, right? He's lying, he's not honoring his father. Maybe honoring his mother, but not his father. And you are correct. It is a good thing. It's a spiritual thing. Think about that. It was just the words of the father asking God to bless him. That's it. That was the whole big deal. It's not about money. It's not about houses or any material. It's a spiritual blessing. But from the point of view of God, although maybe he was more honest and more sincere, he is obtaining this blessing through deception. It's the incorrect way to obtain the blessing. His own daughter. Yeah, you had cases in the Bible when you start wondering about that. And this is one of these cases because later Esau finally come back from this difficult hunting and make an effort and ask, Father, bless me. And his father says, it's nothing left for you. And he feel really angry and betrayed and disappointed, right, that his brother had... That's a good question. Why he didn't care before, and now he is caring right now. Maybe for selfish reasons, we don't know. What we know is that his brother took advantage of him, you know, being outside, and helped by his mother, you know, they deceived his father.
Probably Esau did not appreciate enough. He was deceiving himself, you know, because he didn't really understand what having the blessing means, you know, and he wanted for the material benefit because he was, you know, you said, you know, he was looking for material things, whereas Jacob was more inclined for spiritual things, and God's blessing is more spiritual than material, you know, and if you look at the history, the way Jacob goes, you know, he didn't have, you know, he goes with his stuff alone in the night, running away from his brother, you know, what's the blessing in there?
Right. Well, the story had many twists, and you will find later that the blessing come with complications, right? Jacob never saw his mother again. His mother died when he is outside, is away from his family, especially away from his brother Esau, that he was fearful to getting killed. But several points come to my mind, and I want to share them with you. Number one, God blessed Jacob despite the lie. And that's something amazing because the blessing is not based in a human being, it's based in the faithfulness of God. And last week, Anne was presenting here about the spiritual gift, and she was mentioned, you remember, that when God gives you a spiritual gift, he doesn't take it back again, right? He is expecting us to use it for the church. So God is blessing you, and it's not like if you misbehave, I will take away the blessing from you. Now you are without blessing. It's not that. You get the blessing, and it's yours. You know, as long as you add on faith and work and walk in God's presence, he will continue blessing you. The other thing that caught my attention is that Jacob later, you know, paid a high price for his deception. You remember the story when he is working for his uncle, trying to obtain the woman that he really loved, 7 years, you know, he made this deal, and then finding out that his uncle deceived him and gave him the sister. And think about the anger that he felt. You know, I'm working for this man without salary, only for this woman, and he deceived me and he gave me the wrong woman. Probably he can understand his brother now that he also deceived. And all his life, Jacob have a memory of his deception. His own name is this deception, right? And you remember later in his life, God changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel, which means prince. But to me, it's a reminder that, you know, we all have shortcomings. And we had issues with honesty. We don't always be honest with ourselves or with God or with other people. And God is calling us to be honest with himself. Now, please go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Because I think Paul is presenting something interesting here that I think can be beneficial for your spiritual life. Ephesians 4 is speaking about the spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit gives to the church. You remember that, right? So when you are in Ephesians 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "And he himself," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." What is the reason of these gifts? What is the purpose of this? And you know the answer is right here. The reason for this is for the equipment of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So all these gifts are for helping the church to be a blessing to other people, right? Continue reading, because I think it's important. "Until we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, to the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children." Now he's switching, right? When you finally get all this knowledge, all these blessings, you won't be like a child. You now will be like an adult. "We should no longer be children, tossed to out and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitfulness plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up all in all things into him who is the head of the head, Christ." So the reason for all these spiritual gifts is to help us to grow and to be honest, right? Not only with ourselves, but with each other, with other members of the church. My final question to you is this. If you are fooling yourself, if you are deceiving yourself, what you can do to change that? Are you aware of the things that you are deceiving yourself? Or you think that there's nothing wrong in your life? Because if that's the case, maybe we need help from God, right? To see exactly what is our problem.
Right.
Yeah.
The moment we deceive ourselves, we don't want to face the reality in our life, and we don't want to change the things in our life. And the best way is just to come to Christ, to Jesus, and let him face our weakness, because we are still sinful people.
Very, very good. And it's maybe because we are shameful, you know, we don't want to accept our weakness. We don't want to face the reality that we had problems. But that's the only pathway to getting better, right? Allowing God to continue working in my heart and in my life and making changes. So that's my challenge to you today as a church. You know, what things do you need to allow God to work? What are the things that you need to open in your life that God can continue pointing to you that we need to make changes? And I've been reflecting in this a lot, because when you are reading the story of Jacob and Esau, you discover that Esau had an issue with Solomon. Propensities, right? Like appetite. You remember the moment when he was willing to sell everything for lentils? Man, for lentils. Yeah. It's like somebody was asking me to sell everything for sweet potatoes. Like, how's that? You know, like, yeah. That's terrible. I'd rather eat the worms that Denise was giving to the kids in the apple right there than eating lentils. No, I like lentils. No, but what I'm trying to present to you is that we are willing in occasions to give up the most valuable things for simple little things. We can betray God, maybe not for 30 pieces of silver, but for other things that appeal to you, right? Or to me. So with that in mind, I want you to please keep praying for our church, praying for your family, for your life, that you can be honest with yourself and honest with the people that love you, because that's the only way that we all can grow in Christ. Amen? Amen. Hey, God bless you.